It's Bigfoot Collectors Club with Bryce and Michael. I know a ghost story or two. Let's do this.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Bigfoot Collectors Club, the host where we talk to amazing guests about their personal paranormal history and share stories of high strangeness. I am your host, Michael McMillan. With me always is your other host,
Bryce Johnson.
For one more week until we lose him again for just a little while. It's going to be fine. And then your super producer,
Riley Bray.
Hey, we're back in the clubhouse. Yeah, Bryce, you've been coming and going, working on your...
Yes, I have a secret project that I'm working on that is, as you know, as I've been asking for Bigfoot stories, so... Needless to say, there might be a correlation. Draw your own conclusions, but I'll be announcing it relatively shortly, and I can't wait, and I appreciate all the support, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
And speaking of support, as you're listening to this, it is June 5th, and we just had contact in the desert.
Yes.
We don't know how it went because we're recording it before we go this show, but I'm sure it was awesome, and I want to thank everyone who came out. And we'll drop the show here on the feed.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a huge turnout. We appreciate all you coming.
Yeah, especially
of
the aliens that came from Alpha Centauri.
Yeah, the aliens showed up.
Totally.
It's great
super
to meet
cool
you guys.
The aliens to actually be our guests.
Yeah, I think I felt some missing time in there. So
I mean, we deliver disclosure. Our work here is done. So we're all going to disappear into a portal in the forest.
Exactly.
And this is actually the last episode of Bigfoot Collectors Club.
No!
Speaking of strange and amazing stuff and all the paranormal things that we like to cover on the show, we have an expert on today's episode. He is a practicing witch doctor. That
awesome.
Is doctor with a K and or CK, I should say, and co-host of the Witch and the Medium podcast alongside friend of the show, Adela Levine.
Yeah.
Everyone, please welcome to the show, Mystic Dylan!
Yay!
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Is Dylan your last name?
No. Right? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Dylan is my last name.
That'd be awesome.
My Christian name is Mystic.
Great. Love it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There we go.
Mom was like, I'm going to name him Mystic.
That's right.
It's beautiful.
There we go.
So thank you so much for being on the show. We, of course, are meeting for the first time ever.
Yes.
We know you through Adela. And as soon as, you know, I've heard the show and I was like, we got to get this guy on the podcast. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank
and I
you.
Think we should just jump right into it.
Yeah. Lots to cover today for sure.
Yeah. Dylan, Mystic Dylan, what is your personal paranormal history?
Ooh. So I think it's so weird because I actually came, so my love of witchcraft and the occult came through my love of history.
Very cool. I think
my spiritual side tapped on later.
Mm-hmm,
So like I just remember I was like growing up, I lived right next to this shop called Bodhi Tree.
I love that on Melrose.
Oh my God.
I miss
the
that
Bodhi
place.
Tree. I miss it so much. And the woman who like worked behind the shop, I used to go there all the time. I was nine.
I love that you're the result of what happens when you grow up in LA.
Right.
Next to an occult bookshop.
Yes. Both your parents are actors, are never home.
And
my
Earth
mom
Cafe.
Was woo woo. Yeah. Earth Cafe. And I was just there. Like I was that woo woo child. And this woman who worked there was from Sri Lanka. And I was there all the time. And she's like, you're going to learn something. So she taught me how to read palms.
No
so at
way.
9 years old, I learned how to palmistry.
Like, this is like cool. A story of like, a kid growing up like with a band of traveling like bards or like a
absolutely
circus,
yeah. Right,
you know, and like a fantasy kingdom of some kind.
And both my parents worked and I was there like all the time, and I'd get off work and I'd off school and I would go to Bodhi
Let's
Tree
be honest
work school
work,
is work
you should be paid to do that
school.
Shit
no
yeah
kidding.
And I'd get in trouble because I'd read all the little kids' fortunes. I'd read their palms.
That's
and
right.
They'd be like and then after that I started learning tarot. I got into tarot. So I started taking tarot classes at Bodhi Tree. And then my father, for my 13th birthday, got me a book called The Real Witch's Book on The Real Witch's Spellbook, which probably is not the thing you get, like, you know, a child of divorce who probably has a lot of teenage angst, but he did.
And he paid for it. Yeah. Handsomely.
And I just remember reading and I'm like, Wicca. What's this? It's a religion. Witchcraft is a religion. Wow. Which it's not. But I just kind of got into that, and my father loved history. My grandfather was a teacher at FSU, so in Florida. So there was just this need for knowledge that I had early on. But it wasn't until I really started getting into witchcraft and kind of opening myself up to it that I saw the results. And like, as a kid too, I had crazy dreams and they were like prophetic. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is weird. And like, when I would read cards, there would be this similarity. I was like, there's something here. And as I delved into that, and as I learned more about folk magic, it just kind of like my connection with spirit. So Adela, who is a friend of, she, like, I always say, like, all roads lead to Rome, but like Adela like gets there. She has like a super shuttle to the spirit world. Right. Like, it's like there.
She's taking the monorail. Yes,
yeah. Oh, no. I'm taking the monorail and the ferry to get there. She's kind of like zipped in.
Japanese
speaker. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's like she just teleports. Because I use tools. So when I do spirit communication, I'll use bones or I'll tap in with like a pendulum or something. And she's like, they're here.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
So you're saying that you do, like Adela, contact the other side as well? Mm-hmm. You speak to spirits?
Yeah.
But you need to use some like tools that are provided in order
absolutely
to connect.
And I think it's because early on as a child, I remember there were like two moments where I saw things and I was like, nope, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
And I think I just kind of like shut that out. So like my rule is, I don't want to see you. Tell me what you want me to, you know, pass on.
I just don't want to look at your face.
I just don't want to look
because you're
your face.
A spider god. And
absolutely.
I'm very scared of you.
100%.
Let's talk about what these things you saw as a child that you were afraid of.
Well, and I was telling like shadow people, like I definitely saw things on like a shadow, like full on shadow. And then the other time, my childhood dog, his name was Aladdin. Mm-hmm, he was nice. A lab. He passed away. And he used to like sleep in my bed.
Why didn't you name him Aladdin?
I was thinking the same thing.
You're punny. You're punny. I love it. I should have. So he like passed away and I just went to like my mini like young childhood depression, and then kid you not, I woke up in the middle of the night and I felt like this weight on my bed, and I looked up and like he was there,
right there,
and that just like freaked me out.
Oh, so it terrified.
Like, I mean, I loved. I'm like, yeah, Aladdin, yeah, yeah. I love you so much, yeah. But at the same time, too, like, you're totally dead.
Yeah. Was he a full physical manifestation?
Yeah. Like was he tactile?
Could you touch him?
No. Okay. But I felt the weight. Definitely felt the weight of him on my bed. And when I looked, he was curled up and there and like asleep. Yeah. And I was just kind of like, ugh.
So it's also like a confirmation and a validation of what you've been like reading about and like studying.
Yeah.
And it's like, was that the first time that it was like really real to you?
Yes. And I think the other time too that it was like when I got the confirmation that I was like, there's definitely something there, is I remember doing a reading for someone, and I was just like bullshitting. I was like, this is what I learned. And then I remember having this like crazy dream, and it was my middle school teacher. And I just remember her having like, it was like raining glass. And I remember I told her, and I was like, this is so weird, but this is what's happening. And she's like, no. And I was like, I don't know. Like, it was really traumatic for me.
Right.
And sure enough, like 2 days later, she got into a car accident and like all her windshields like broken, and she was freaked out.
I didn't even think about that. Of course, that makes sense.
Like, and it was because she wasn't injured. There was no car. And this is why I think when it comes to divination and prophecy, it's not, everyone thinks that you're going to get like these exact images. And it's actually very, I would say that it's cloudy. You know, there are different facets of a diamond, so to speak.
It sounds very like symbolic. It's like it's raining glass.
It's raining glass. Like that's what I remember. And there was no blood or anything. She didn't seem in pain. I just remember that there was just it was like reflective, and she was just walking.
Weird.
And it was a lot. Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy.
She was fine. A lot of injuries?
No, not at all. But so she got it hit her on the side, and then like I guess the impact is what blew in the glass.
Wow.
But like she was totally fine.
That reminds me of what you were saying. We were at a meeting the other day, and you were like, Adela had said the day before.
Oh yeah.
Tell
for
us about
our listeners,
this. Yeah.
We'll enjoy this. When she was on the show, she intuited seeing me in an office with glass walls, and sure enough, we found ourselves, actually all of us, the three of us, in a meeting at an office building surrounded by glass walls. Now, I don't know if it's the exact thing that she was talking about, but I had to be like, well, this is just a few days had passed since that episode.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, that was like, pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, Adele, I will tell you, so I call myself a skeptic psychic because I did come to this. My love of history is kind of what pulls me into this. But I remember I got a reading from it, and Adela didn't know. So, like, I only have my grandmother on my father's side is alive, but everyone else has passed. And I just remember sitting down, and like, I was not close to them because we weren't raised together. The closest one that I was probably to my step grandfather, who was a teacher. And I just remember sitting down, and like, Adela was like, you know, oh, there's a John here, and that's the name of my grandfather. And I was like, and I have like, he's not on my social media. Mm-hmm. So like, there's no way, like I've never even posted a picture of him. You know, there was no obituary when he passed. There was nothing. So for her to know that. And the other thing too, is that we had a volatile relationship, even though I love him and respect him. But she was just like, oh yeah, he is so frustrated with you, Dylan. And like this stuff. And I was
she's
like,
so
wait a minute, what? And she's like, you're not reading those books. And I was like, oh, snap.
Wow.
Like I got called out. So I just a testament to her. She's pretty phenomenal.
Do you ever get contact with people from your families?
Like my grandfather comes in like from time to time. Like the craziest thing, books. He loved books, and my love of books kind of came from that. But there will be a book that I put away, and it will either disappear when I need it, and it'll appear somewhere else, or like, so I always think that that's kind of like contact, like
right.
A weird thing with books, or like and there'll be something that I haven't seen in a long time, and it'll just happen. And actually, the craziest story was I applied for... So when my grandfather was alive, he insisted, and he was very big on, like, dreams and doing things, and, like, he would not, like... There was no mundane, like obstacles were not a thing. It was like, oh, you want to do that? You can do it. I'm like, no, you don't understand. And he's like, but I do.
Because I'm a grandpa.
Right, because I'm a grandpa.
Grandpa's knock shit down.
Like, I mean, this he was pretty ahead of his time. But he read in some newspaper that they were doing scholarships to Egypt.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
And he's like, you should apply for this. And I'm like, that's amazing. But if you look at the bullet points, it's like, you need a PhD in this. You need to have a bachelor's in this. Like, I went to school for musical theater. Like, I was going to be on Broadway, have 7 Tony Awards. That was my goal. And he's like, no, you should do this. You love Egypt and you should apply. So I was like, sure. So I did it out of like stress. And he actually like wrote this letter because he was a teacher at FSU, and I was like, there's no way. So I moved to New York. I'm a year in, they never call me. He would call me every week. Did they call you? I'm like, no, it's Columbia University. There is no way in God's green earth that they're going to contact some 18-year-old who has no experience doing this. So sure enough, years go by. He passes. It has now been 5 years, and I got a call from this woman, and she's like, I just want to let you know, I read your paper. Would you like to go on an excavation to Egypt?
Whoa.
And this was... like so it was 5 years since I sent that letter, but it was like 3 months after he had passed.
Wow. So it was a paper or a letter?
It was a paper and then a letter of recommendation from him.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
But the thing is that article was posted 5 years ago for a one-time scholarship.
They should not have been reviewing those.
It should
papers
not have been reviewing
post.
That 5 years post.
Yeah, he's pulled it out from a stack.
Right? 100%.
Top of the deck.
Totally.
100%. And what's funny is that when I actually went, like, then it was like one supernatural experience after another. Like, I went in the catacombs of Rome, and the freaking bone fell in front of me. And mind you, these bones are like in place.
Wow.
You know, it's not like the monks did a good job of making sure that these bones were just there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I went in the
And what's this? What was the significance of the bone falling?
So in the catacombs, you have these monks. During the 14th century, they kind of arranged, like every time a monk would pass, they arranged their bones in this way.
It's entirely made up of bones, isn't it?
Yeah, it's entirely made up of bones.
It's a sight to behold.
It's pretty insane.
It so
you should go. I haven't seen the ones in Paris. Apparently, the catacombs of Paris are like beyond anything else. But the ones in Rome are pretty amazing. So you have these skulls lined up and you have these archways made of bones, and we're all just looking, and it was almost as if someone was on the other side. Like, at first I was like, was it a rat or something? Because you just saw this bone moving.
No
and we were
way.
All, yeah, it was me and like six other people, and we're like, what? And then it just goes
plop.
And we were like, whoa. But no rat
like,
or anything.
Dylan, grab that. That's yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's for you.
Well, I mean, I didn't take that, but I do have a crucifixion nail from the first century.
Wow.
And I have two oil lamps.
That?
From another catacomb.
Wow.
So the Romans were very superstitious. So they burnt all their dead. They didn't believe in burying their dead. So Christians during that time were built outside the city walls, so they have their own catacombs, and it's actually really sad because sometimes the graves are this big and sometimes the holes are that big because they were
from like for our listeners at home, you're just from shoebox
like shoebox
down to like a couple inches
. Because the story goes that obviously so during the time of Nero he was accused of burning Rome, so he blamed the Christians, so Christians were persecuted, so some and obviously Christians bury their dead. So sometimes you have a full body, sometimes you have a finger that's remained because the lions. So that would be buried. That's the whole thing. But there were nails everywhere because a lot of them were also crucified.
Wow.
So I one may have fallen into my bag.
And what's the significance of a is that a tool you will use or is it just an artifact?
It's just an artifact. So I work at the Mystic Museum in Burbank, California.
Oh, cool. Oh, great.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. So it's called Bearded Ladies Mystic Museum, and I'm their like in-house psychic occult consultant, and we kind of have a museum because when I went to my trip, the Cairo Museum in Egypt was closing because they're moving to Giza. They're opening up this like huge 3-floor museum. It's going to be epic, and they have like no space. So when I went there, they're like, "Oh, you work in a museum? Do you want this funerary mask and all these artifacts?" And
what?
I was like, "What?
Sure."
My grandfather, I'm telling you, I swear, he gave me the hookup.
Yeah.
Wow.
He really did.
He
so,
likes
like,
weird stuff. Just get him this.
So
I
imagine,
like history. He likes history. It's not my taste, but let's get this to him.
Right? It was so, and it's so weird. And like when I was a kid, when I was like 13, I would always joke and be like, I'm going to be the curator of the Cairo Museum.
Wow.
And sure enough, the curator of the Cairo Museum is like, please take this 3,400-year-old funerary mummy mask back to Burbank, California.
What a trip.
Yeah. Where dreams come true.
Where dreams come true.
So I want to ask you about your work itself.
Yeah.
You call yourself a witch doctor.
Yeah.
You don't like the word or do you like the word psychic?
So, I mean, I don't mind it. I think there are so many misconceptions about the word.
Right.
Every time I say I'm a psychic, people are like, can you read what my mind?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know what I'm thinking? And it's not, doesn't it's not like, it doesn't work like that. So
and
I would say that
with bones and yeah, cards. So walk us through what you do.
I would say seer or oracle.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I like both of those words.
I would say seer or oracle. I'm kind of like the conduit for that. I use the tools. I speak through the tools. So bone throwing, and I actually brought my bone, so I'll show you later. I'll give
can
a bone.
Do one on the air?
If you don't mind, yeah. It's kind of loud.
That would be great.
But yeah.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, it's allowed. I'm just saying they're loud. You'll hear the rattling. But if you don't mind, 100%.
Mic up them bones.
So throw them bones.
Yeah.
Bone throwing, the cool thing about them is that chiromancy, the art of throwing lots, has been used by everyone, every nationality, every culture for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's one of the oldest tools of divination. And then bones themselves, the Greeks, Romans, Egyptians, they all threw bones. In Africa, they used bones for divination. And then really where I discovered it, I went to New Orleans and you know, I was doing tarot and tarot readings and I would be there in Jackson Square giving my $20 tarot readings. And I just remember this woman who taught voodoo. Her name's Bloody Mary and she's epic.
It's a good name for a voodoo teacher.
She's amazing. She was like on Ghost Hunters and she's done a lot of stuff.
Also has a great brunch place.
Yeah, she really does. Her Bloody Marys are amazing.
Oh, boy.
So she's pretty awesome. And she's like, you're so good with the cards. Have you ever tried throwing bones? And I was like, no. And she gave me a bone reading that like blew my mind. And the bones are pretty, I mean, every bone has an association. Mm-hmm. You throw the bones and it's just like, it makes so much sense.
Wow.
So I really enjoy that.
And what is bone throwing? What tradition is that come from?
So there are different ones. So you have Yoruba. It's a hoodoo tradition from New Orleans. But it definitely comes from, it came over via the Atlantic slave trade.
Okay.
So it's kind of infused with a lot of like Irish folk magic, different magics like that.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what tradition you use.
Well, and also too, it's like as if we believe in, like we were talking about this earlier, that in the Egyptians believe that objects can hold energy. What
Absolutely.
More object can hold energy than someone's bones. Yeah, it's wild.
100%. And it's also too, so like, just like I said, so Adela, she will tap in. They're there. She'll talk to the spirits. But to me, the bones, they have ancestral properties.
Mm.
So if you wanted to speak to someone on the other side, you could shake and throw the bones.
And is that and you could read. Mostly the goal is communicating with the other side? Or is any of it prophetic?
It's prophetic. So I use it both. If you want to talk to someone, you can use that as well. But I'll do it for daily situations.
Mm.
Like I do a bone throw at the end of the day and everyone's like, why don't you do it at the beginning of the day? And to me, it's because if I throw the bones and I see like chaos or if I see a confrontation that's going to happen that whole day, I'm worrying about that confrontation.
Yeah.
Right. I love checking in at the end of the day and I'm like, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I see that.
Right.
You know?
Got it.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
And then what, I'm just... You know, when we get experts in on the show, I'm just like, okay, I'm lapping up the information.
Let's, yeah.
I'm going to learn. You brought for us today a doll.
Yeah, a voodoo doll. Made.
So it's a voodoo doll.
Yeah.
So let's talk about voodoo, because when we think about voodoo, I think most people think about like, and a voodoo doll, like someone sticking a pin in it to make, you know, to make someone else like grab their knee and go, ah, or like my back, you know,
yeah,
it's
and
like
unfortunately,
a revenge thing. What is a voodoo doll? What's its purpose?
Well, first, so voodoo, it's two things. So voodoo is a religion. It's a Haitian it's a religion from Haiti that came over via the Atlantic slave trade from Africa. So that in itself, that is voodoo. And really, voodoo is the veneration of spirits and ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that is what the religion is. Okay? In New Orleans, it's something different. Okay? So in New Orleans, it's that religion. But it's been combined and synchronized with Irish folk magic, Catholicism, and voodoo, Haitian voodoo also has a lot of Catholicism in it too, Native American magic, and a bunch of different folk practices that are combined. The Catholicism, everyone gets so confused that it's so present, but when the slaves came in, they were forced to be Christian and Catholic, and that's how they hid their religion and spiritual beliefs. They hid it behind Catholicism.
That's cool.
The voodoo doll.
None of that's cool. Well, none of that's saying, cool. But that's
yeah, it's very interesting. Actually, I always say that, you know, when you look at religion or when you look at myths, it's all the same. Different stories, it's the same outcome or the same thing, the same goal, so to speak. So they have in voodoo, you have Mama Brigitte, and she is kind of this goddess of death and retribution and fertility. But she is Saint Bridget. And Saint Bridget is Bridget, the pagan Celtic goddess. Yeah.
Wow!
So
when
you have
Brigitte. I was like, isn't that a Celtic?
Yeah. So you have goddess. About 2,000 years, and she just doesn't die. She's been around. So Bridget becomes Saint Bridget, who becomes Mama Brigitte. So interesting.
What does Saint Bridget govern?
Saint Bridget governs the wanderers. Okay, so if you're lost, or she guides those to the other side. There's a crazy story which I love, and so pagans were forced to be Christian. And when
there's a recurring theme happening here,
right? Yeah. So when the Christians, when they were like, we can't kill all of you, they're like, let's tell you a story. So they're like, oh, you have a Bridget? We have a Bridget too. So the story goes is that Bridget is in Ireland, you know, doing her witchy magic because she was a goddess of magic and motherhood, apparently got this calling that Jesus was going to be born, okay?
Got it.
And leaves Ireland, goes to Bethlehem, and becomes the midwife to Mary, okay, and helps Jesus.
Like when DC acquires like two different comic properties. Like, well, how are we gonna move Wildstorm universe into the
it's an
new
obfuscation
52?
Of myth.
Let's,
yeah.
All right, suddenly now, the authority is hanging out with the Justice League. It's like
absolutely.
That's
the craziest story. But sure enough, they were like, see, this pagan goddess loves Jesus.
Right.
You know? So they were like, oh, okay, let's convert. Mm. I mean, Easter.
This is all retcon.
Yeah. Easter that we celebrate is literally the name of a goddess.
Yeah.
She's a goddess of spring.
Yeah.
You know,
Esther, right?
Yeah, Esther. Look at you. You know,
I have some
pagan
roots in me.
You know, we all do. That's the other thing too. Everyone practices magic, and I love what people are like. No, never. And it's like you make a birthday wish.
I was just
you blow
out
a candle.
Sure.
Absolutely, that's magic. That's all folk magic.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about magic. We've barely talked. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit on the show. where are those places that people practice magic in a day-to-day and not realize that the birthday candle one is amazing?
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Salt, you spill salt, everyone has the inkling to throw it over their shoulder. The horseshoe, okay, you hang a horse. Oh, look at that.
So
that
kind
horseshoe?
Of like superstition.
Yeah,
superstition is what we refer to it as superstition.
You refer to it as superstition,
or
but it's
tradition.
Definitely magic or tradition. And the idea of that, especially in America, there are a lot of folk traditions or old wives' tale. And what does folk mean? Folk means family. These are all family stories that have passed down, okay? And they've all been synchronized, and they've all been put in, infused. And in reality, that's what voodoo is. You know, I get a lot of people would be like, well, isn't voodoo black magic? And I'm like, well, technically, yes, because black magic has a lot of racial implications there. Magic is not black or white. It doesn't have a color. It's how you use it. It's like a knife. You can use the knife to stab someone. You can use the knife to carve up a nice meal.
Right.
Mm. You know? So when you hear black magic, I mean, one of the things that I really hate, especially living in LA, is that I'm a white witch. I'm like, no, you're not. not. You might be white, right. But you are not a white witch. There's no white magic or black magic.
Yeah,
you know.
So I want to understand. So are you saying that like the term black magic literally gets applied because of racism?
Absolutely, 100%.
During referred to as black magic.
Yeah, during the Victorian era, like the late 1800s, that's when you start seeing that. Weird. Okay, wow. And everything because when you think of black magic, what do you think? Bones. Okay. You think something primordial and archaic. Mm. Okay. Not the new age you go to. I mean, I went to Urban Outfitters the other day and they're selling like the crystal chakra tarot deck.
Right.
You
know? Right,
like you don't
white
think
magic.
Yeah, white magic.
Totally.
You don't think you don't when you think of white magic, yeah. You think of pastel colors.
Yeah.
Okay. You think of crystals.
Robes.
You think of robes. You
like
think of chakras.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't think of bones and all that stuff. So 100% there are racial implications there.
Wow, that's,
you know,
really interesting. Never thought about it that
yeah.
way.
Absolutely.
All cultures.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
One implies the other.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
What kind of magic do you practice? Are you, you're not, are you,
I would say I'm
chaos
eclectic.
Magic?
I'm a, yeah. So I.
I'm sorry, I talked over you. What did you
say? No. I'm eclectic. I'm an eclectic practitioner.
Okay.
When I started, I was very into Wicca. Like that's what was safe for me. That's what I recognized. I was initiated into a Wiccan coven. And by no, I still respect Wicca a lot. But the more, like I said, like my love is history first mm-hmm. and foremost. Mm-hmm. Neo-paganism is a revival of these ancient Celtic pagan roots. But it's very new, you know? So Wicca was brought together by this dude named Gerald Gardner from England in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a very new religion. And even though it may have ties to this ancient culture, mm-hmm. it's very new. And I think that once I started learning that and once I started seeing how new this was, I have an appreciation for different histories and I really like their practices. So I started getting more into eclectic magic, and that's what I consider myself, an eclectic practitioner. And then when I went to New Orleans, that really changed my focal point.
Yeah, that's a whole
gateway in and of itself. It really is. I mean, first of all, I don't know if you've ever been to New Orleans, but it's so magical.
I love it. It's one of my favorite places.
It's ancient. It is like old world meets new world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you didn't believe in ghosts, then like when you get there, it's
yeah.
like spirits are walking.
Yeah.
There.
Well, and it's also got this crazy, like you already mentioned, like Catholic history,
right.
Like in culture. And what's fascinating to me about it, like I worked on something that I've filmed a couple things actually.
Brag.
True Blood was one of them. And a drag, of course.
No, I said brag.
Oh, I thought you said drag. I was like, no. Yes, I filmed myself in drag. No. I was just meant I've been there for work a few times. And the thing that I remember the first time I went, I was like, oh, New Orleans version of Catholicism is like everything that Catholicism is, but they are like, but we're gonna like lean into the sin as much as we can and party and get real sexy and real drunk because and throw that huge party. We're gonna take off our shirts and be basically like, you know, these party animals, because then we're gonna fucking just like,
we're purging.
Lent, and you know, it's like, but it's just this really, it's fascinating that they're not like, they're a much less repressed version
absolutely.
Of the religion down there. And you go, oh, these guys just like, they realize that they can get away with whatever they want if they just, you know,
sure.
it's
go through Lent and purge themselves of their sin, and then they just can start out all over after Easter.
It's so true. And I mean, there are pagan ties to Lent, to Mardi Gras as well. You know, think of Bacchanalia.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
so
yeah.
So the Bacchus, who was a god of revelry. So you have this idea of that. And speaking of True Blood, so I loved that show. And like when I was like the Wiccan kid when I was watching that show. And I'll never forget, they have this Halloween episode and I was so excited. Like, it's like, I think it's season 3 and they're like all witches. And I'll never forget, it's like, they're talking about, this holiday, and I'm so excited. I'm like, yay, finally. And they're like, Samhain. And I just, my little witch soul died because it's Samhain.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was like, ah, oh, so close.
Right.
So close.
Not always.
And but I mean,
doing the
I
best
appreciate
research on that show.
No, yeah. But I think there's so much mythology that they incorporate into that, and I give them kudos. But I just kind of feel like there's a lot now. It's like every little witch kid is like, I practice Samhain, and I was like, you watch True Blood,
right? Yeah.
You freaking watch True Blood.
Well, that's a marker, so now you know. Yeah. It gives them away.
Well, then they did on Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. This like, and I'm like, okay, there's been like 5 years.
Right.
Let's get it right. And then they were like, we'll see you on Samhain. I'm like, gosh damn it.
I mean, we talked about Samhain on this show, and I remember it was like you could Google one article and get the pronunciation
absolutely
for it. So it's not that hard to do.
So to the upcoming shows, if they need a witch consultant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got you. There we go.
Good to know. Good. Yeah.
What I love about your story is that, you know, from what Adela has told us, is this is something she never asked for. And, you know, she was from a child, she was, you know, able to kind of, you know, see into these other worlds and pierce the veil. And your story is one of more of a fascination, starting with history and then moving towards these more eclectic realms of knowledge. And so you really sort of, you know, you opened yourself up to this mystery, and it sort of came to you and you came to it, you know? So it's not just something that you can have to be born with, in other words. I mean,
absolutely,
it's something you can move to.
That's a question I get a lot too. It's like, do you have to be a hereditary witch? Like, I get that all the time. Like, do you have to be born a witch? I'm like, first off, if you look at you know, history, technically we were all born witches because at some point or another your ancestors were pagan,
right?
You know, so it's all there. You don't have to be born into anything. People are like, do you have to be initiated into witchcraft? You don't. It's pretty much, you know, what you do. And Adela and I, you know, we talk about this all the time because she is very humble about, and I guess I am too to an extent, but she's very humble about her gifts. And I'm like, listen, I earned mine. You know, like my guidance counselor in high school, and I'm sure laughing right now, my guidance counselor in high school was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, I'm going to be a professional witch.
Oh,
and literally stared at me.
Right.
And look at me now.
Because right.
I definitely am.
Well, it's cool. And I mean this in a super positive way. Like, you wear it, you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like you're dressed for what you do. Like, you can look at you and go, oh yeah, I could, like, that guy's a witch. Totally. I get it. You know
right.
what I mean? And I love that. It's like putting on your battle armor and going out and being just the way that like a doctor puts on a lab coat or like, you know, a lawyer puts on a suit and tie and grabs her briefcase. I feel like you're wearing like, yeah, this is, I'm representing.
For sure.
It's an extroverted part of you, which is
right.
really, really cool.
And witchcraft it's precisely that. It's a craft, not a religion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing too. Like, oh, I'm Christian. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. And there are no religious implications for being witchcraft. Witchcraft is really just, you know, that aspect of you, you know, tapping into that to do, you know, so witchcraft to me is a manipulation of nature to achieve a supernatural effect.
Got it.
You
I
know,
love, right.
So that's really what it is. Everyone practices witchcraft, whether you're making a wish, whether you're lighting
praying.
A candle, praying, prayer. I mean, first of all, everyone's like, oh, the Bible. The Bible is like the coolest spell book
ever. Yeah, it's
ever.
A grimoire.
It's a grimoire. That's precisely what it is.
Right.
It's telling you how to communicate and gives you a practice with the higher realm.
Absolutely. And also, and everyone gets mad, it's like when I'm like, oh, it's wonderful Christian mythology, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all stories.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. There's a lot there. And another thing too is that a lot of people think, oh, you're dark. Okay, I get that all the time. You're dark. And I'm like, dude, I worked at Disney World.
Right.
like
that's
I
awesome.
Love Disney. You know?
What did you do at Disney
I'm
World?
I'm so bubbly. Oh, I was a vacation planner, and then I did guest relations.
Well, we need to talk
wow.
later.
Yeah.
That's
oh my God. It's my. It's
I
want my...
to go to Disney World soon.
Oh, you should. It's
a.
It's our haunted mansion's
well,
better.
Walt Disney himself was an occult fanatic.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
He was a 33rd degree Mason, and
yes.
so he was no stranger to the occult.
And I will give you a fun fact. In the original Snow White, okay? Mm-hmm. The evil queen, she has this mirror, okay? And around the mirror, there are all these occult symbols. One of them, not the swastika, okay, but looked like it because it's actually a Hindu symbol.
Right. That's right.
Okay, sure. For direction. Yeah. Okay, and there were all these like there
also
were pentagrams and things like that.
Too, by the way,
absolutely.
Or at least America's
involved. And so when they were penning it and inking it, there was so much. He had already done his little Donald Duck, you know, little right. Nazi special. He was getting so much heat mm-hmm. about that now when you watch it, they're all astrological signs.
Oh wow.
So when you look at that evil queen's mirror, oops, she has all these astrological signs around it, but before that there were all these occult symbols.
Wow.
You know,
I'll have to Google, see if I can find the original.
If you can find the original sketch, I think the family museum, when you go to the family
which
museum
is, we've talked about on the show, amazing museum.
I've never been. It's my dream.
In the Presidio in San Francisco, the Walt Disney Family Museum.
Oh yeah, what about all that hidden stuff in the Disney films, like the artists will
well, that's just bored artists being perverts.
I think that's less occult.
Right? It's
I think
really,
that's
talking about boners.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
less occult and mysticism, and more like let's put a boner.
I'm not getting paid enough to do this.
Let's put a penis on the cover of Little Mermaid.
Yeah. But no, I was wondering if there was anything. How do I phrase this? If anything was passed down as to say, you know, it's like the yin and the yang symbol. You know, within the black, it implies the white with the white dot. So in these stories that they're telling, if they want to subvert a hidden message to, you know, click on that aspect of the psyche, is that more contrived? Or like you said, is it just bored artists do like, let's put a boner in the Little Mermaid castle?
It could be a bit of both. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I really empathize with Ursula.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Ursula all the time.
Right.
Like people always flock into my culture and crying spells, Dylan,
right.
please. You know, and if you think about it, Ursula gave Ariel all the proper things how to get her wish,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Ariel didn't care about her father.
Right.
She really wanted her boo.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
She didn't care how she was going to get there. And she made an epic sacrifice for a dude that she met one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
And I get that all the time.
Right, right.
So I really think it's like, if you want this, you know, everything has to do with sacrifice or balance.
Yeah,
so not necessarily black or white.
Yes.
But definitely nature is going to find that balance.
Well, and that's what I was saying. Within those classic Disney stories are an alternative motif that if you look beyond just what's there, you can find another story.
Of course. It's almost like Wicked. Look at Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really
know
like that.
I know, I should.
But you know, she has all these trials and tribulations that led her to where she is, you know.
Well, something
now.
You just said, you know, about like everything requires a sacrifice. Even, I mean, all change in, you know, magic is manifesting something that's from the unmanifest into the manifested. Like, if you want to get in shape, for example.
Right.
If you want to, like, I want to, like, you have to change. You have to sacrifice. We can't eat these things anymore.
Right.
You're going to have to put more energy out there in terms of like exercise. It's just those little simple things, these conventions that we often take for granted that it just lines up with stories you hear of magic and alchemy and all this stuff. It's like it does have – everything has its price. Everything does have a sacrifice.
Absolutely.
You know, if you want to go pursue your dreams of being an actor in New York, you got to leave your hometown and go to New York. You have to put in the work.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that makes sense on a magical level that law – is there as well, you know, or that rule, I should say.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that magic is more, not saying that it's not supernatural, but like, you know, you'll have that
practical person
practical, and they don't get that. They think easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they want
That's right.
the job. They want to be CEO of a company,
mm-hmm.
okay? They'll pay whatever to get that. They'll light the candle,
mm-hmm.
but then it's like, did you turn in the job application?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you go to the interview?
Yeah,
right.
You
know?
Have to do the work. You
right.
have to do the practice to
find
get the
me
result
a relationship.
You want.
Find me a boo.
Yeah.
I really want this or whatever. Are you like Hugh Jackman's not going to knock on your door and be like, I'm ready if you're binge watching Netflix.
Yeah,
right.
You know?
So you got to get out there.
You
got to
get
best
out
foot
there.
Forward.
Absolutely.
Get a haircut.
precisely.
Like make yourself presentable. You'll automatically be more attractive to other people. But it's true. But I mean, I think magic in a way works very much the same way. I think people are like, well, I wished for it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how it fucking works. Like, putting the intention out there is part of the spell.
Yes, but the rest is follow through.
You've got to do the follow through. And I see it in my own life all the time. It's like, well, when I'm putting the intention forward and then working towards the intention, I get results.
Absolutely.
When I'm sitting around going, God, I wish things would change, and I'm not fucking doing anything to change it, nothing happens. In fact, it gets worse.
Well, now, absolutely.
And that's practical magic. But have you ever run into, has magic ever confounded you with a deeper mystery? I mean, does it ever come to you in an unexplainable fashion?
Yes.
Does it surprise you?
Yes. One of them I did, I recently did, I had a client that I did workings for, and she was working towards this. And I remember we did a reading, and I was like, and this was like the first time that I was like, I see you getting money. I don't see you working for it. Mm. Like, that was the first time that I was like, this is literally what I see.
Wow.
You know? And tarot, and this was actually tarot reading, not bones. And tarot, it's not intuitive. There are a lot of intuitive tarot readers out there, but tarot has precise dynamics. Every card has specifications of what it means, especially when they line up with other cards. So I was like, I really don't see you working for this income.
Wow.
And
That probably went against your better judgment, too. You're like,
and I automatically was like, huh.
Right.
And sure enough, like a week later, her cousin passed away, and she literally got this insane
inheritance.
And she was like, remember that money you didn't see me working for?
It's like,
shabam. And I was like, yeah. And like, yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
Does that ever happen a lot? Your clients will give you post-confirmation, and I'm sure you appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate a lot. And it's so funny, too, because I always tell people, it's like, I kind of feel like, as much as and I love that it happens, it's confirmation for my craft. But as I said, you know, first and foremost, I'm the conduit. So it's not really an ego boost, because I'm literally telling you what I'm seeing and what I was trained to see.
Yeah.
So I think that's one time that magic has kind of been like, whoa. I think another time too, this is really silly. I had this amazing idea that Hugh Jackman was going to star in Les Mis. And,
I mean, it doesn't always have to be like high stakes.
Did I ever tell you about the time I gave myself the part of Anakin Skywalker?
That's a good story.
I have a feeling these stories are going to be similar.
I literally watched Les Mis and I was like, this is Hugh Jackman, and they should do a movie. And sure enough, I shipped that so hard.
Wow.
So I should be getting royalties.
That's amazing. That's
all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more fun with Mystic Dylan.
Awesome.
Dylan.
Yes.
There is a game that we like to play with all of our guests.
Yes.
It's called Bullshit or Believe It. I'm going to go down a list of things, and if you believe in it, you say believe it. If you don't, you say bullshit. If you're somewhere in between, you still got to pick one of them.
Okay.
All right? This is a binary game.
There's no way.
I do this with witchcraft. I call it craft or crap.
Craft or crap.
Craft or crap. That's
love
awesome.
It. So you get it. So
okay.
On your mark.
Yes.
Get set.
Yes.
Ghosts.
Oh, believe it.
UFOs.
Bullshit.
Bigfoot.
Bullshit.
Angels.
Believe it.
Gnomes.
Believe it.
Fairies.
Believe it.
Unicorns.
Bullshit.
Loch Ness Monster.
Bullshit.
Little gray aliens.
Bullshit.
Dogman.
Bullshit.
Parallel universes.
Believe it.
Shapeshifters.
Believe it.
Mermaids.
Bullshit.
Heaven.
Bullshit.
Hell.
Bullshit.
Dragons.
Bullshit.
Yeti.
Bullshit.
Elves.
Believe it. Kidding. Bullshit.
Oh man.
ESP.
Oh, believe it.
Chupacabra.
Bullshit.
Demons.
Believe it. Seen it.
Atlantis.
Yes, absolutely. Believe it.
Life on other planets.
I want to.
World peace.
bullshit.
Peace in the multiverse.
Believe it.
Yay.
Wow, this that is one of the amazing. Most fascinating yes. ones. Yes. So one. You are not on board with UFOs, aliens, or anything.
Oh, I know.
You need to spend more time
in
Clubhouse.
It's so funny because...
Get that mic close to your mouth.
Adela was like, Bigfoot Collectors Club, and I'm like, yeah.
I've heard you're terrified of aliens.
I am 100%. Look, if it's anything like Mars Attack or whatever those movies are, or Alien, right. I'm out.
That's right. Amazing.
Okay.
I'm out.
Totally.
I mean, like, this is a kid who will talk to ghosts but doesn't want to see the ghosts.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yep.
I also, there's something about the pop culture, like the big head, big eyes, green thing that just doesn't suit right with me. Like, mm-hmm. I just hate that. It just doesn't aesthetically please me.
No, it's freaky.
I also hate when people, like, having been to Egypt and been inside the Great Pyramid, I'm like, why are we going to take away, like, we're
all
just
going to
all
did.
The work that they did
yeah.
And just make it, you know, aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone mentioned on a podcast I was listening to not too long ago. They're like, yeah, this whole ancient alien stuff is pretty racist, too.
Because
it's saying, like, only smart white people can make cool shit. And otherwise, aliens need to jump in and help.
Yeah.
It's kind of there's some roots there. I see the point. I know that people who are really into ancient aliens are like, screaming that's not true, but if you stop and think about it for a minute, there's an argument to be made.
It's true. And spoiler alert, slaves did not build the pyramids.
Who did?
Bum, bum, bum. The Egyptians.
Yeah.
The Nile flooded every year, so Pharaoh hired those people to build the pyramids, and we actually found their graves, and they were paid really well, and they had wages, and women had
drank beer and
sat pretty.
Nice.
So, and even the poorest Egyptian had gold. How weird is that?
Awesome.
Yeah. So, but, and fairies, to me, fairies are just a bastardized, you know, pagan Celtic deities.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They made them really, really, really tiny.
No, I love it. It's nice to get someone
and then
in
almost
here who,
non-existent.
And non-existent.
Who,
yeah.
Believe it on fairies and gnomes. And we don't get most of that is we hear bullshit.
Yeah. But. They're elemental spirits. Yeah.
And Atlantis.
Yeah.
Was a real place.
I think it was the Greeks. If you look at, if you look at the writings of Philo and, you know, Herodotus, Plato, they all talk about that. So I think it was a Greek province off the coast of the Mediterranean, and it just disappeared. I mean, have you heard of the Ninth Rank? So the Ninth Rank was a Roman military, 5,500 men who went to invade Britain and disappeared.
Whoa.
So either the Celts totally eradicated them or something.
Wild.
Roanoke.
Okay, cool. Wild. Yeah, Roanoke. Is that what you said? Roanoke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is awesome. All right. Writing this down, the Ninth Rank.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Done. All right. Gonna look that up. All right. Quick break. Come back. Time to, instead of high strangeness this week, is all going to be
rolling
throwing bones. Rolling or throwing?
Throwing, probably.
Throwing.
Throwing bones.
Throw them bones.
I was thinking of a hip hop song.
You always are. You're so cool.
There should be a hip hop song.
I'm
throw
actually
them bones.
In outlaw country now.
Oh, boy.
That'd be a good country song, throw them bones.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Throw them bones.
Okay, and we're back. And it's,
you can take your headphones off.
Take your headphones off. Just stay close to the mic as much
stay
as possible.
Close
so,
to the mic.
Michael, here's a knife. We're just going to need you to
make a blood sacrifice.
Yes.
Take the back of my.
It's just
here's
a quick little
palm.
Blood sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So, what are we doing? We're throwing, or you're throwing bones.
You're going to throw bones.
Oh, wow.
I'm just the conduit.
Okay.
So, you have to think of a question you want to ask.
Okay.
Are we going to go around the circle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's
hold
do
on.
It.
Or should we do one collectively for the podcast?
Or do you want to do a collective podcast throwing?
I think we should go around a circle.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's fine. Because
okay.
then we have more to like go, oh,
not
maybe
a team
the-
player.
Wow. I guess Michael's got his own question.
Michael wants his own question.
My question could be about the... I'm just thinking variety.
Okay.
That's all.
Great.
I'm just,
great.
I'm just busting your chops.
Are we going to verbalize our question?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I don't read minds.
Okay. Okay, no, great. Yeah, I thought it was like, you know, don't let people know your wish or it won't come true type thing.
Yeah,
so,
no, definitely let me know your question.
Mm. I've never rolled bones before.
That's okay.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. Okay, so who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Perfect.
Okay.
So what you're going to do,
yep.
you're going to blow, you're going to shake, you're going to throw.
I'm going to blow, shake, and throw.
Blow, shake, and throw.
Sounds like a Saturday
don't
night.
Don't throw the shell.
Okay. Yeah.
I sometimes feel like I don't need to say that, but then someone totally chucked me with a shell.
Okay.
So you're going to hold on to the shell.
Yep.
You're going to ask your wish.
Okay.
Oh, not your wish. Sorry, your question.
It's a question. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, God. Oh, now I'm like changing up my quote. There's so much I want to know. I'm going to have to come visit you at the Mystic Museum. Okay. All right. I got a question. Am I going to find Bigfoot?
Boom, boom, boom. Okay.
Okay.
So now you're going to blow into the bums.
Yep.
Cup one hand on top.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a nice shake, 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 shake. And you're just going to check them. There we go. Okay. So the first thing that I see here, this is an ankle bone. This has to do with mobility. Mm. It requires travel and effort from your part.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Now, the other thing, too, is that this coyote bone right here has to do with communication, okay? And see how there's one facing away from you?
I do.
There's a lot of conflict, and see all those bones in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of muck, okay? So not necessarily saying no, but it does look to me that there are a lot of obstacles that stand in your way of achieving that.
Wow.
Okay? Like,
I mean, Bigfoot doesn't exist.
What's interesting, though, is that see how, like, when you look at the bones,
I'm just
they
saying
tell
this
a
big ass.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can kind of see the story of the bones.
Well, no, what you just said, like ankle and mobility. So much of the some of the great evidence of Bigfoot is the track cast and the footways that showed the type of mobility of a creature like that would have.
Absolutely. Now, this bison tooth right here has to do with stubbornness, strength, usually a wise person.
Mm.
With this being upright right here, it does indicate that there is someone who could lead you in the right direction.
Wow.
So either someone actually has seen Bigfoot or can get you there. But the one thing that I see here, this gator foot is facing kind of in your direction, so away from, or the claws are facing you, so you need to be more active. So with it facing you, there's a very lackadaisical sense of, like, whether it's on the back burner, yes, it's a passion, but not necessarily something that you're taking an active everyday role in pursuing, and you might do that. You might need that in order to achieve that. And then this pheasant foot right here, also facing in your direction, you're too grounded, so staying in one place. So you need that mobility, or you need that change, and it may require you having either direct contact with this person in order to achieve that goal.
Wow.
Yeah. And then this coyote tooth right here, just chilling. This is trickster energy.
Oh,
saying
wow.
that there will be obstacles.
Well, there's a lot of that in Bigfootery.
Yeah.
That's wild. A lot of what you just said is very poignant and apt into what I'm involved with, my secret project. So awesome.
Here we go.
Cool. That was incredible.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
That's wild. The trickster spirit, I feel like, is also very, like, a key element of high strangeness.
No doubt
that
about
there's
it.
There's always, when you're dealing with, like, this world, this realm of the other, that there is this, there always seems to be a bit of that, even in Bigfoot stories, this element of the trickster in it.
Of course.
Without a doubt. Because
he's playing, it's a big game of hide and seek, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I also think going on that, it's like you will have those people who I have no doubt seen it and maybe had that experience.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have those manipulative people who either just want to cash out or want attention who are going to, you know, lie or manipulate the situation. So I think you deal with both those things.
Wow. And
as
I
well.
Have. Yeah, that's wild. That was great, Dylan. Thank you.
Great.
Anytime.
All right.
So
I'll
we
go
put
next.
The bones back in.
So we're putting the bones back into, what kind of shell is this?
It's an abalone shell.
Oh, it's very shiny.
Yeah.
That mobile bone just fell on the floor.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was very interesting.
Also, you did break your foot.
That's what I was like. The
oh, yeah. And,
you know,
my mobility? Yeah.
When you broke your foot last year, maybe it's like a connected to that as well.
Yeah, totally.
What's that coin in all the bones?
This is a yes-no coin. So this jagged little area right here, this would be no.
Mm-hmm.
And then the straight one would be yes.
Wow.
Well, but that's only if you ask a yes-no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well,
cool. Oh, which
what
you
did.
What
did it mean? Which you did.
Which you did.
Right.
Okay. So
underneath all the muck, you got a no.
Underneath all the muck. Are you sure it was a no?
It was under the
It was under all the bones.
But
not necessarily. I think that there's still, you have that person. You have to look at everything combined.
I will.
You know, and it was hidden. It wasn't showing itself to you.
Yeah, that's
you
wild.
Know? So I think that there's still a mystery or some worth finding yourself. All right. And then these four markers right here, these are called the ancestral bones.
Okay.
So they kind of just guide. So you...
All right. I'll go next. Now, yep. Do I...
Blow, shake, throw.
I don't have to ask a yes or no question.
No, you can ask anything. Where am I going, or what's the next step?
Okay,
or,
great.
Yeah.
Who? All right. So this is really
who, what, when, where, why.
This is a very actorly question. My last job, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, just ended. Mm-hmm. Coming off the heels of that, wondering where the next acting job might take me, or when it might happen.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
So blow.
Mm-hmm.
Shake,
throw. And throw.
Now, do you have to use an intention when you blow or shake, or is it just a focused concentration?
It's a form of concentration.
Okay. Wow.
So you're,
good throw.
That is a good throw. Okay. But the first thing that I'm going to tell you right here.
Uh oh, I messed up.
No. Okay. So obviously you didn't ask yes or no question, but you did get yes right there in the center.
Great.
Wow. Okay. So I definitely think that acting, the next opportunity is coming your way. One of the things that I do see though is that. One of the things that I see, though, yeah. is that if you look at the skater claw right here, mm-hmm. it does require effort from your end. So if it is something that you want, see how all these, so you have this coyote jawbone facing you, mm-hmm. okay?
And a chicken foot.
You have
foot.
This, well, pheasant. Sorry, but pheasant. Yeah, you have this pheasant foot facing you. So this is communication. It's facing you. You're withholding communication. Ooh. The pheasant facing you, too grounded, okay? Oh. So don't wait for things to find you. You have to take initiative and find that.
Okay.
One thing that I'm going to tell you, though, this ankle bone right here kind of pulls you away. You're a jack of all trades. You have multiple talents and gifts. Mm. I see you generating multiple ways of income. I don't see you getting income in one way. And it does look to me that the upcoming project is either one of stability or one that you're not necessarily doing via working for someone else.
Okay.
Okay. It could also mean now is the time to focus on whatever you put on the back burner to focus on those goals as well. The other thing too, this right here, this carnelian stone has to do with blood flow and relaxation, but you have this other bone here. So to me, looking at those things, there's something you've put on a hierarchy, or there is whether a dream job or passion that you have. You've kind of made it so above you. So whatever goal this is for you in your career, you have to advocate and vocalize and try to get that. I don't think you're far off from getting that. And like I said, so this bison, whenever you see this bison tooth, okay, think of it as someone like either a superior or someone you know. I also see you having communication with whoever that is to achieve this goal. Because I do see the pinnacle of your career will be in acting in some way, but there's space in between, mm-hmm. okay? So definitely take a look at that, okay? This wonderful stone right here, okay, this has to do with wealth, and that's kind of like your end goal. So I do see you obtaining
that.
Why is
it so far away from me?
Because it's going to take a month. It's going to take a minute. It's going to take a minute, okay?
Let's
it's literally outside the circle.
Outside the circle. But, it's well within your sight.
Okay, got it.
Okay? The other thing, too, so usually this vertebrae, uh-huh. it's going to land up, so this has to do with being upright and secure. But on its side, not saying that you're insecure, but it does look to me that in regards to passions, there are sacrifices that you've made, or there's something that's going to cycle through. One of the things that I actually see if you look, mm-hmm. see how they kind of go in this direction?
You got to get on the mic. Or
Sorry. I apologize. See how it kind of goes in this direction? You kind of have these bones going around right here. So you have these have to do with protection. They're going around. I kind of see a journey. Whatever you put on the back burner is going to cycle through. So there's a passion that you have that may require more attention or may result in generating income of some sort.
Okay.
Now, Dylan, I'm really interested in these two bones. This mm-hmm. one that's right outside. What did you call these four?
Right. Oh, these are the ancestral bones.
I threw passion ancestral
yeah.
bone.
There's a bone that's outside the ancestral bones.
Yes. And it's missing, and this is an ankle bone, mobility. Mm. With it being here, it's something that you've deprived or is missing. Mm. So you actually need to find whatever this mobility is, and you need more mobility in achieving either your goal, or it's kind of saying that, like, right now, maybe you need to be a little more grounded and know that in the upcoming months, your life may take a 180.
Hmm. And what about this bone that's sitting right on the circumference of the circle over there?
There we go. Yeah, that's a tooth. Okay. Communication. So another thing that may be missing, an implement that may be missing. Okay.
Got it. And
notice how they're kind of right on the, well, this one kind of jumped out, but that's right on the edge. Okay.
Right.
Also, that coyote too, whenever bones are by themselves, think of it as like honing in. You have to hone in on that energy. So I think the coyote tooth facing away from you, so something that you need or something that you have to do, maybe you have to manipulate the energy to suit your needs.
Okay.
God, this is fascinating.
You also need to be the predator.
Oh.
All right.
You're going to play the predator.
I'm going to go put on some makeup. Go get the black makeup to put on her streaks under my eyes.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Absolutely. Actually, to me, this too is very poignant because you have this coyote jawbone right here. Mm-hmm. And then you have this rib cage. So the rib cage is protection. And you have that predator. So you have that gator foot. So to me, it's like you're either closing yourself off for a specific goal, and it might require necessary conflict in order to achieve whatever that is.
Okay.
So being vocal or
everyone get out of my
saying,
fucking way.
You have to fight people to get
to
that.
That money's so far away.
Definitely. But I would say definitely in regards to acting, acting is definitely well. That is part of your career. But I would say focus on whatever passions you have. I do see you generating income from multiple facets.
Frogs. Michael, I really like frogs. I'm into frogs. I've never talked about
Mike
it.
Mike is an incredible frogs. Writer as well.
He is. And he makes comic books.
Yes.
All right. So, all right. Cool. Good to know.
Okay.
So not Riley, July.
Right. Okay, are you ready to throw them bones?
I'm ready, man. I'm gonna use mine to ask about the show.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I have the bones.
All right. Now Riley's got the bones.
So what'd you think, Michael?
Riley's got
the
bones. We'll talk about it later.
Copy that.
Still worried about
that money
stone.
Money's fine. I just want to work.
I see you working.
I just
want to
be on a TV show again.
I see you working, but not getting paid a lot. So independent films for Michael.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. But maybe it's because you look at that. If you look at that gator, and if you look at those things about what you want, instead of just, you know, you're so, I just want to do a TV show again. What would be your ultimate acting goal?
Got it.
Cool. All right, Riley.
Oh, okay. It's a rhetorical question. All right. I'm going to ask the bones, what does the future hold for Bigfoot Collectors Club?
Oh, wow. Nice.
All right.
Whoa.
Whoa. No, that's good. That's fine.
Too strong.
Cancelled. All
right, we got a tooth over here. We got a little rib bone.
You guys, I killed the show.
I don't know if this is a rib. Can I pick them up to show you?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You
can touch it. There we go.
Bone.
You can put them right here.
Yeah, I got this tooth.
Just put them right here.
Did I throw any more off the...
That's a great question, Dylan. So, is there such thing as a good or bad throw, or all throws what's supposed to happen?
So I will tell you, for the three of you, usually what a lot of people do is they dump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when bones dump together or clump together, I call that the clusterfuck.
Right.
So that represents obstacles.
Oh, wow.
Okay? When you throw the bones and they're spread, that is kind of like the journey. When they clump together, it's necessary. It's meant for something to happen. So, yeah, a lot of people will be like...
I noticed that Bryce really clumped.
They get,
no, I had a little
no,
bit of bone.
He threw.
I didn't clump.
Don't pick on his bone.
There's some central muck, but other than that, there were some good markers. Some
absolutely.
Good outside markers.
Absolutely. But a lot of people will be like, I'm going to throw. And boom. And it's like, oh.
You tell me to throw, I'm going to throw.
You did a nice throw.
Okay,
so let's
what do we
start.
Here?
Look at here. So, first thing that I see right here, you have that wonderful ankle bone. So, I do see a lot of mobility in the show and growth. Okay. Oh, and I never talked about these.
Ooh.
So, there are three of these, I believe.
I think one's over
here.
Yeah,
you have one over here. There
errors.
Might be another one. So, these represent specific people.
Ooh.
Okay. So, this one is upright right here. Mm-hmm. So, this is a person that can assist you, or this is the next step. Okay. So, the meeting of a new person. See how that gator foot, once again, it's in there.
Yeah.
If you want longevity in the show, you have to be the predator. So you have to take initiative, and it does require a bit of effort on your part. So right now, with the facing away, it's kind of saying, you know, there is a very, don't be lackadaisical, go with the flow with the show. Like, if you have these goals that you want or whatever you perceive with this, definitely take that journey, okay? In the center bone, we have this bison. So, and this mobility, I see this taking off and growing into something else. And now we have this wonderful stone right here that represents prosperity. There's money that comes from it. So generating income from that.
Thank you, Patreon.
Okay. There we go.
Totally.
You have that pheasant foot. You have that pheasant foot over there facing away from you. So this is travel. Okay.
Ooh, so I definitely do
see, I definitely do see a lot of travel. And actually, the bones that are missing are not necessarily ones that would affect in any way. Okay. Whatever's lacking, you already have key components here. The only ones that, so like both jaw bones flew outside of the circle.
Yeah.
So that just has to do with communication. Communication is key. Okay. Making sure that, that what you want is vocalized.
That's a good question, Dylan. So when, things are outside the circle, do they become, do they become relevant to the reading? Do they become relevant to the reading, or are they discounted per se?
They're discounted.
I see.
But it is nice to know what's missing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Because I'm very interested in this one that's in the jaw of the coyote.
Yeah, what it's kind of right
stone?
There.
Right on the edge there.
And that's a carnelian, which has to do with blood flow and tranquility.
Wow.
Okay? So the other thing could be, too, don't stress over this.
Okay.
It might, you know, don't... I think that really it does take initiative, and it does take a little bit of vigor. And once you get that, these two bones right here are wonderful, okay? And actually... Those three.
Yeah. We've got the...
Yeah. I say that's a wonderful combo right here. I do see travel. I do see mobility and prosperity. And then, like I said, you didn't ask a yes or no question. That is on no. But to me, with it being so close, it could be any obstacles that find you that are within your reach, I think you will overcome. Okay. So there are obstacles that you are going to fight. So definitely take a look at that. Absolutely. The computer ghosts. And also, if you see too, you have a wonderful line. So it's kind of very direct.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a journey that is happening with this. So I do see longevity in the show. And I think you're going to achieve whatever goals you have sooner rather than later.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Very future cool.
is fast. Future is bright, guys.
Man, that is so
fascinating
cool.
stuff.
Yeah.
There we go.
Mystic Dylan, if listeners out there want to get into magic or perhaps strengthen their own magic practice or Wicca or witchcraft, what do you recommend they do or don't do?
Ooh, I always, well, reading first
go
and foremost.
Go to the library, I was just going to say.
Yeah, go to the library and read. Wicca, there's a lot of history about Wicca, but I find that a lot of Wiccan authors kind of frou-frou the practice in history. So definitely, I would say look at the history of witchcraft, okay? Also, look at your roots, okay? Because you can find out your practices based on your ancestors.
Yeah,
maybe
I noticed
there's
that
something
you,
there.
That's something you had done. You were very in tune with your lineage.
Absolutely.
My ancestors make a lot of sheet cakes.
So there we go. You can make a lot of magical,
good luck with that, bro.
Magical
just, there's
cakes.
Not a lot of
you
magic.
Know?
Maybe you're going to open a bakery.
So, I mean, like, nice. So I have Native American, Cuban, Irish, and French. And so I kind of incorporate a lot
That's
of that.
Very New Orleans.
Yeah. So I incorporate a lot of that in my practices. But definitely look at that. I also think it's good to read books. Like, there's a wonderful book called The Encyclopedia of Witchcraft by Judica Iles. And not only is she a magical practitioner, but she's also an anthropologist.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of respect anything that she writes or says. Or you can go to Burbank, the Mystic Museum, and you can visit.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a local, please
there we
do. Go.
Go
check
and
out
we have Dylan. We have a wonderful thing called Club Coven at the Mystic Museum that we do. And it's just an eclectic, you know, group of like-minded people. people, and we just talk about the occult and witchcraft, and we learn from each other.
Oh my god, I want to come to
so,
that.
So yeah, absolutely.
I'll definitely be coming by.
Yeah,
yeah, by. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's coordinate. Totally
we should come record an episode.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Eric and Kiko, the owners, are amazing. They're so great. Cool.
We'll look to that in the future for sure. Yeah. Dylan, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
It's been awesome.
What a fascinating episode.
Really appreciate you coming to be our guest, and then we put you to work while you're on the show.
You know, it's what I do.
Where can people find Witch in the Medium? Where can people find your social media?
The Witch in the Medium is, I think, everywhere except Apple at the moment, but I think it's going to be on iTunes soon.
Probably by the time listeners.
Yeah, by the time you listen to this, it will be up. And that's with Adela Levine, who is amazing. I'm at the Mystic Museum on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And then you can visit me at Mystic Dylan Official. My website is mysticdylan.com. And
great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Go check out the podcast. It's amazing.
All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you so much. Again, thank you to Mystic Dylan. I want to thank my co-host, Bryce, and our super producer, Riley Bray, and you, the listener out there. We'll see you again next week for an all-new episode of Bigfoot Collectors Club. Until then,
go get regressed. Do it. Bigfoot Collectors Club is produced by Riley Bray. Our theme song is Come Alone by Sun Eaters, courtesy of Lotus Pool Records. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps get the podcast to more listeners. To support the show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club and unlock multiple reward episodes every month.
Hey guys, Heather Ashley here, host of the Big Mad True Crime Podcast. If you're looking for a true crime podcast with all of the details and none of the small talk, you have found your people. Each week, we dive deep into a new case and learn everything there is to know, from getting to know the victim and the impact their case has had on those around them, to the investigation into what happened to them and who is or might be responsible. And if the bad guy looks like he might drink whiskey by a dumpster or has the social skills of an ogre, we say it because we were all thinking it anyway. As the name suggests, we get big mad over true crime, and I would love to have you join our incredible community of listeners with big hearts and zero time for small talk. Subscribe to Big Mad True Crime anywhere you listen to podcasts and listen to new episodes every single Monday.
Hey, this is Eric Molinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.